right, live on the internet through BBS Radio. Thank you all for participating with this evening win-free hour between now and an hour from now. I do not know what the topic is going to be. And this is, as usual, Sam O'Keefe's call, and somebody else joined in. Good evening. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Hi, this is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome.
Hi.
Thank
You're
you.
Only the second one after Dharmananda.
Oh, okay. Well, I have a small clock that I have yet to turn back the time.
All right.
So I called an hour ago and got some music.
Oh.
Yeah, silly.
All right. Thank you for being here now as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what were you saying about the call yesterday?
That there was that one lady who had, I can't remember what she had, but she went to, I think she was with Kimberly, and that she goes, no, wait, she listened to the call on Saturday, just by listening in on that show from Alfred Weber. She felt healed. This was pretty impressive. Good evening, welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you.
I guess they want to be anonymous.
Yeah, no, actually, the line dropped out immediately. I noticed.
Oh. Yeah, the one Saturday, it was a recorded one that they linked the email to. I don't know what it was, what Alfred Weber. I never saw one with Alfred Weber.
Let me first welcome those folks that just came on board. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
I just picked up Jeannie. Good evening, Jeannie. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the other person, please go ahead.
Jerry on Utah.
Hello, Jerry. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. But we were saying there, Mananda?
Yeah, I didn't see the live one. The link I got went to the recorded one.
From yesterday, you're talking about?
Saturday.
Say what?
Oh, it was Saturday.
Oh, yeah, it was correct. The call with Alfred Weber was on Saturday, yes.
Yeah, okay, I guess it's a replay. I can look at that up.
And you know what? I've been looking yesterday for that replay, and it was also a link I had from Kimberly, but it was not working. And I looked through Alfred Weber's website. Of it either. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say name and location.
Hi. This is Edna.
Hello, Edna. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Welcome. And another person joined in. Welcome to you. Please say name and location.
Hi, Susan in Michigan.
Hi, Susan. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right. All right. And welcome to all those listening in through BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. So far, no announcement email for tonight's call, so I do not know what we will be talking about or if there will be any channeling going on with Terry. We'll find out shortly.
I can't find a replay.
You can't find the replay?
No. It's said click on this link for a replay, and it's the same one. Facebook. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the link is for the replay.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Positive greeting from Sedona. Hi.
Hello, Raiden. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thank you for being here.
All right. Thank you for being here as well. And positive greetings to you, my friends.
Mm-hmm. So do you have a link for the replay?
No, I haven't. No. So far, I have not been able to get a hold of it. And Vin was going to email it out, but he, as far as I know, he has not done so yet.
On YouTube, that Kimberly thing just came up 1 hour ago.
1 hour ago. Okay, cool. Thank you.
It's on YouTube?
Yes, it's on YouTube under Alfred's site.
All right.
Alfred who?
Alfred Weber.
Weber.
Oh, yeah, Weber, W-E-B-R-E. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It just came up an hour ago. I just shut
all
it
right.
off and get on the call.
All right, great. And we had more people joining in over here. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, how are you, everybody?
Hello, Don. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Thanks.
And did I hear Terry?
Yeah, Terry.
Hello, Terry. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi,
thank
positive
you so much. For...
Dear heart.
Hi.
Another person joined in. Welcome. Please say name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Good evening. Welcome.
Well, how's
it? Terry Brown, do you know about to win his whereabouts?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Irving in Michigan.
Sorry.
Who was it in Michigan?
Prudy.
It's Prudy.
Hi, Prudy. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
All right. Thank you for
Hi.
Being here. And I'm sorry, Terry, you were checking on Wynn?
He just went in his room to call in.
Okay, great. And then welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
It's Roger here in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening and welcome.
Hello.
All right.
From Ohio.
So, I heard somebody from Ohio.
Yes, yeah, Shirley.
Hi, Shirley. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. All right, helicopter is up.
Hear me?
The helicopter is up there. Good evening, welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Helen in Virginia.
Hello, Helen. Good evening, welcome.
Good evening.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Hello, Terry, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
All right. And the next caller, we welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Michelle in Cambria. Hi, hi.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you all for being here. I know Wynn will be here just in a moment, which is now. Good evening, Wynn. Welcome.
Hello, hi.
Thank you for being here.
Well, you're very welcome. We don't have Terry on the line, do we?
Yes, he has been here for a while.
Terry is on the line?
We have three Terrys with us tonight.
I'm here.
Well, the real Terry, please stand up.
Well, we all gotta stand up.
remember what's my line?
Yes.
Yes.
Who doesn't remember? Who are the young people? You don't know. You're not a young person on the line.
Well, it doesn't make a difference. It makes a difference if you ever watched it or listened or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I knew it existed, but I never watched it.
Yeah. That was high-end entertainment.
That was good. How many of, let me see, 705, we should start. Well, let me ask you, how many of you have listened, read David Icke?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
No? Who said no? Morgan, are you on the line? How many of you read The Biggest Secret?
Yes.
Yes.
Who wrote that? I don't remember.
David Icke.
Oh, David. Probably. I read a lot of his books, probably.
Okay, who is that?
It is Chris from Memphis.
Oh, hi, Chris.
All right. What a greeting, man. He said, I think it should be the essay. Our word just starts with SH.
All right, I'm going to mute everybody.
Is that about me or you, though? That's all I say.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is December 18th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Hi, Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry.
Yeah, I'm here, yes. I am. I'm here.
That was record time for unmuting yourself.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I was thinking, what are we going to do tonight? And I thought I was... Now, a lot of people are familiar with David Icke, and some of you are not. And those of you who are familiar, bear with me, because I think I'm going to just point out a few things in his book, The Biggest Secret. And Anna, you're not on the line, are you? Anna in Berkeley? Wait a second, everybody's muted.
I have not heard her.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Years ago, when The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce first came out, I went to a David Icke lecture. This was a long time ago, in Pasadena, California.
I remember Anna, that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys the whole story. It's kind of funny, okay? I went there to... I said, I got to tell people about this book. I got to... The people that go to see David Icke would be interested in my book. Now, I wasn't completely knowledgeable about David Icke. I would say the thing I recall hearing about him was that the elite would turn into reptilians and then turn back into elite again. That there were reptilians in the fourth dimension that were taking them over. And I said, I don't know if I believe that. That's pretty far out. But nonetheless, there was an all-day lecture that he was doing single-handedly at the Pasadena Convention Center. And there was a lunch break. And there was a guy that Terry and I both knew from years ago who was doing them, used to do, we knew him from multi-level marketing companies we were working with. And he had some new company, and he had a bunch of people that were having lunch across the street from the convention center. And I was there, but Terry was not. I don't think Terry was there. No, you were not there. So I joined Bill Ellsberg for lunch with his party. And sitting across from me was this woman, Anna, who came down from Berkeley. And that's how I met Anna. I took one look at her. And at that time, I was just recently introduced to the word wanderer. You know, that's become like part of our stable in our vocabulary now. But that idea had never occurred to me before. But I looked at Anna, and I said, if there ever was a wanderer, Anna was a wanderer. So we ended up staying in touch. And to the present time, when she comes into our calls. So another story of seeing David Icke was I decided I wanted to meet him because he would be interested in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. He certainly would know who Edgar Cayce was. And so I went to the hotels that were in the area of the Pasadena Convention Center, and I found the hotel he was checked in at. So after his lecture, or maybe just before it ended, I went to the hotel and was sitting in the lobby of the hotel waiting for him. I'm sure he loves fans that do that, but I did it. And while I was sitting there, this black guy comes in with his party. I don't know if he had a woman with him or not. Maybe he did. And I looked at him, and I recognized him. And I'll bet you guys know who he was. Let me just see.
All callers are unmuted.
You guys know who Dick Gregory was?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was Dick Gregory coming in, okay? And Dick Gregory was coming to meet David Icke at his dinner table, right?
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
Now, it just so happens. Now, it's interesting. I never thought of this before. But, I met Bill Ellsberg there, who Terry and I both knew from this multi-level. We were selling Swedish flower pollen, and Bill Ellsberg was one of the people that was doing that. And guess who was the spokesman for the company? Dick Gregory. And the company was selling a product of his called Bahamian Diet. So I met him in Cernatine. Not really met him in the sense that I got to know him, but I sat through different lectures he gave. And I remember Terry and I were at this Cernatine convention in the Bahamas, and Dick Gregory was the speaker there. And I met him a little bit because he was playing the slot machines in the casino. So when he came in, I, of course, went right up to him, and he invited me to sit down at their table. So now I am sitting with Dick Gregory waiting for David Icke to walk in. I'm in much better stead now because I'm with Dick Gregory. And I'm telling Dick Gregory all about the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And he was really interested. And then finally, David Icke and his wife came in, Pamela, former wife at this point. And I actually had more of a connection with Pamela than I did with him. And I gave her a copy of my book. And then a few years later, how many years later? I don't even know. A few years later, I was in Sedona and now living here. And somebody invited me to a Thanksgiving dinner. And who was there but Pamela Icke, okay? And, of course, she remembered me. I remembered her. And we had a connection. So, in any case, getting back to David Icke, I actually didn't read his books at that time. But I listened to a good portion of his lecture. And in more recent times, I started picking up one of the older books he wrote called The Biggest Secret. And I've been talking about how this realm is programmed, how nothing that you read in the news or the media. Now, I should never say nothing, and I should never say never, okay? Now, where do I go from there? Now I'm stuck. Okay, I should almost never say nothing. There we go. Now I'm stuck. And now I went so much into my nothing thing there, but I forgot where I was going, okay? Well, in any case, his book goes through a lot of epics of history and points out the discrepancies between how it appears historically and what actually happened. And the books are very footnoted, you know, with references. And I think that most of the points he makes are accurate. But the first time you hear it, it is a bit mind-blowing. And I thought I'd share just a few things from that book. Let's see here. I got to turn on a better light. Because if you haven't convinced yourself how jaded the news and the media are, you will be after you hear some of this stuff. And you know what? I haven't prepared for this very well. I should have picked out some of the very best things to read. Now, in the David Icke cosmology, we are controlled. We are controlled by reptilians who work down through the what he was called the Illuminati, secret societies, and that the Illuminati has had a long-term goal, hundreds of years perhaps, or longer, of taking over the planet. And waiting for this period of time, right now, when there would be these advances in technology, where it was possible to actually take over the planet, because you have the ability to totally mind control the population, because the media, everyone is wired in to the media. And so it's a long-term project. And David Icke would say that there are certain people who are in certain bloodlines who have the, how would you say it? The genetic superiority to other people who are destined to be in control. And he would pick people, for example, like the Rothschilds, like the Rockefellers. And there was a whole genetic bloodline that would be considered superior, and that kept marrying into their own bloodline to keep the genetics pure. And in the David Icke cosmology, this bloodline, because of the genetics, because of its DNA, had the ability, first of all, it had reptilian DNA. Now, I do believe we all have reptilian DNA, but they had it to a greater extreme than other people. And that they were able to make psychic contact with reptilians in the astral. Or there would be reptilians who would take them over. Now, I'm not completely sure that that is exactly the right deduction, because there's other way. There definitely is a reptilian connection with the elite. Now, I talk about the Greys. You know, a lot of this stuff, let me see how much, I want to explain it enough so you understand it. Okay, here we go. The reptilians, let's just read something here. Human sacrifice was fundamental to the religion of Babylon, and wherever the Babylon Brotherhood and their reptilian bloodlines have traveled, human sacrifice has always gone with them, because the reptilian... Okay, now guys, let me just say, I picked that out and started reading it. It does kind of fit, but I don't know. Some of you may not be able to handle that or make you feel uncomfortable. Let me just unmute and see if anyone has an objection to that, okay? Because I could talk about it in my own words in less graphic terms here. So hang on just a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Is there anyone that's offended by that?
No, and I think it's important. I think it's important to talk about it because it does explain a lot of the human sacrifice that we find in the Bible. You know.
Yeah, it also explains right now. If you look at alternative stuff, you'll find something called Pizzagate. Have you heard of Pizzagate?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you look in the regular news, it says fake news, right? But there's a huge amount of evidence that that's true. And part of the deal is, why does that occur? Why is there this, how can I say
it? Positive greetings.
Positive greetings, thank you. Thank you. We're talking about sacrifice, so just be cool.
And what about Trump?
Let's get to him later, okay? I mean,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Not every reptilian or somebody with reptilian DNA is a eats people, you know, or sacrifices them. Why are people like that? Well, they have evolved DNA. I mean, if you notice the elite, they can stand up in front of a room, they can talk, they can act like leaders, they can smile. This is where this interesting thing about having your heart open, they can seem to have their hearts open, and they do. But what's holding their heart open is reflected energy, not connection with source. And this is a very subtle thing that I really grasped. And, you know, I've said it before. The first time you hear it, you might not get it. So I'll say it again. We all need energy. When I was younger, I thought when you got to be enlightened, you just connected with God and you would just glow all the time. And I would see people that seemed to be that way. And in more recent times, whenever I looked those people up, I found out they were having sex. Now, that doesn't make them bad. They were just human. But it appeared they didn't need sex. It appeared they didn't need anything. They would get up in front of a group, and they would be totally, totally radiant. And it's because they had sex the night before. And the difference between positive and negative doesn't have to do whether you're having sex or not having sex. It has to do with free will. That's the key element. If you hear the Elohim overemphasize the idea of free will, you can start to grasp its significance, because when you have any kind of interaction with another person, there is, if you're feeling empty, if you're feeling needy, you can suddenly grab the energy of another person and try to own it, because it makes you feel better temporarily. It doesn't stay. because without free will, the energy dies. And then you need another person. We're talking about lovers. It doesn't have to be just lovers. It can be a lot of things. But there is a graspiness to the energy. There's a desperation behind it. And now you always work to not show the desperation. You train yourself. I don't say you, but one trains themselves to look cool, composed, beautiful, made up, impressing them. But underneath, there is this crazy desperation and neediness. And let me just see here. I'm going to unmute.
All callers are unmuted.
Any of you ever feel that way? Liars.
At times.
I have.
I mean, it doesn't have to be in recent times. At some point in your life, did you feel really needy and wanting to impress someone as if they could fix it for you? Okay? I have. Terry, have you ever been that way? Terry?
Yeah, I've been that way.
I never thought I'd get you to admit it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's not necessarily that the
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Goes away. It's like a cyclical thing in people. The deal is when you're in that space, having the self-control to never try to seduce somebody into your life as if they could fix you, you know, or making them feel obligated. But in any case, it's that energy which is probably the basis for reptilian consciousness in this realm. And in the reptilian cosmology, they want to control people because they need energy. And they don't care how they get it. They will lie, they will seduce. But this need for energy goes beyond sex. Although, at the low end of this, they will be pedophiles, okay? They'll be pedophiles because children have the most pure and innocent energy for them to take. They will be sacrificing people, because when the soul releases at death, the energy is picked up by the people in the room. They will eat pituitary glands. I mean, it gets really gross, the extent, because what happens is it's a constant state of desperation. It's like a fix. It's like a drug. Whatever it takes to fix that desperation is what they do. And they can't connect in an enduring way with somebody because of their disregard for free will. Do you know, when you have a free will relationship with another person, it means sometimes you have to bite the bullet on your own neediness until the timing is right. Because you cannot expect another person to fix you on demand until you develop a close enough rapport where they will do that just because they care about you, and they don't want you to suffer. And in when people are close and they're in a law of one type relationship, then if one person is out of balance, the other person will feel it. And it's to both people's advantage to fix the out of balance situation, because that way everybody's happier. But if a person's out of balance and demands the other person fix it, and they don't have a law of one connection, then the other person will feel controlled and feel enslaved. They say, what am I supposed to do? Satisfy your needs anytime you want? And they will resist. And then the other person gets angry. Usually, the intensity of the energy is stronger in a man, usually. And he's the one that will get angry first. But a woman has needs, too. And they may not be the same as a man's, but it may mean to feel cared for, to feel, to love their nurturing. Now, you know, this doesn't mean every woman is like this. She's not. And there's a wide spectrum of variation between people, but these are archetypes. But the reptilian DNA is very controlling. And when you look at the Illuminati, you will see it is reptilian. And they accept as a group their desperation, although I don't know if they would call it desperation. They think they're elite and they have entitlement to things, okay? And but they have group desperation events, which would be sacrifices and worse or equal, you know? So throughout history, these beings, these elite with superior DNA, have constantly tried to have the edge on commoners. Here we go. I just found the perfect quote for what I'm saying here on David Icke. The bloodlines, the chosen people of the gods, and the secret knowledge are symbolized as the vine and vineyards in the Bible and countless other writings and pictures. The Old Testament speaks of the vine thou didst bring out of Egypt. We are also told that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. The bloodline symbolized as the vine is not, as I would strongly suggest, the bloodline of King David at all. He didn't exist for a start, which confirms the point rather conclusively. The symbolism of the vine can once again be traced back to Babylon and Egypt. In the mystery schools of Greece, their sun gods, Dionysus and Bacchus, were the patron gods of the vineyard. What do grapes depend upon to grow? The sun. The vine and the bloodline of Jesus weaved in among the sun symbolism in one of the royal and priestly bloodlines, which lead back to the reptilians, the Anunnaki. Now, the Anunnaki were not all reptilians. but there was interbreeding at the higher level that brought in reptilian genetics. But a lot of the Bible is connected with this. It's like the whole idea of God from a biblical perspective was grossly simplified and often with fear attached. And the fear came to control people. If you could make people afraid, then you could take their energy, especially if you were the fix for their fear. You could fix their fear by telling them that you're God and that if they didn't do as you wished, they would be punished. And we've talked about this before, about how the gods of the Old Testament were Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki were space people. And the Anunnaki, according to our... I have never heard anyone else come up with this. But according to our sources, the Anunnaki were long-term derivative of the celestial Elohim who came into this realm. And on some level, they knew that, because that's why Elohim was the word for God in the Bible. And that's why you had the phrase in the Bible, the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. And the Anunnaki were creating hybrids of humans and apes some many times in our history, coming and going, and creating populations of hybrids. And we are the outcome of those populations right now. And many of us have Anunnaki bloodline to some degree or another. And if you study the Anunnaki, you find that there were two brothers, Enki and Enlil. Okay, I can go back and tell this story. I've told it before, but if you've never heard it, it's important to understanding of the of what's happening on our planet and when it seems confusing. And why is God so unfair? So sometime in one of the more recent voyages of the Anunnaki to planet Earth was something like 15,000 BC. And they were on a mission to mine gold in Africa. And they were genetic masters. And they were mining gold. They needed it for some healing reason for their own planet, but they were not very good at working in the environment of Earth. So they decided that they were going to create a hybrid between their genes and ape genes. And they were going to have that hybrid that would be smart because it had their genes in it, it would be strong because it had ape genes in it, do their mining. And there were two brothers. One of them was named Enlil, and the other was named Enki. And Enlil was the commander of the fleet, and Enki was the scientist and the geneticist. So Enki was doing the work to create the hybrids. And there was a interplanetary edict which said, don't mess with the evolution of a planet. In other words, let a planet grow at its own rate. Let DNA evolve at its own rate. So Enlil did not want these hybrids to breed. And initially, they were genetically engineered so they could not breed. But they had to be gestated in the women. And I imagine, I don't know how many women were there, but they could make so many hybrids at a time, and it would be in the woman's womb, and she'd have to have a baby. So the women were complaining. Enki decided that he wanted to create hybrids that could breed. And so he changed the formula, at which point Enki and Enlil became enemies. And the humans, they were called Lulus. That's what they called it. The Anunnaki called them. The Lulus were breeding away. Before you know it, there were enough of them to start a city. And the first city, it's actually a country, was called Sumeria. And I remember reading about Sumeria when I was young, and there was a mystery about it because it had art and culture and poetry and writing, but there was no record of anything before Sumeria. So the real solving of that mystery is that Sumeria was being brought up under Anunnaki tutelage, and they were amongst the people and acting like gods to control them. And, you know, Enki, I don't know about Enlil, but Enki was having sex with the hybrids because he decided he was going to help evolve this race back to God, or at least back to where the Anunnaki were. And so he kept inserting more of his DNA into the evolving species. And then what happened was they kept proliferating, and eventually there were all these other cities or countries that were developing, which became the Middle East. And each one had an Anunnaki overlord attached to it. And this is why in England they call the mayor of a city the lord of the city, okay? It stems back, vocabulary-wise, to the Anunnaki. And in each case, the Anunnaki were acting as gods. They had technology. Another thing is they, historically, if you read about it, it says they lived a very long time, maybe thousands of years. And I asked the question to our sources about that. How did they live so long? And they told me something that no one else has ever said before, but it makes sense. They cloned themselves, and they could move their consciousness into a perpetually young clone and give the appearance of immortality. So the Anunnaki, as they were developing all their local godships everywhere, were, let me see here, we got 5 minutes. The Anunnaki were competing with each other. And each god wanted to be, particularly for their community, they wanted to be the one and only god. Which is why you have all these scriptures that say, I am the Lord, and don't look at anyone else, or you'll be smitten with lightning or something. And they could smite people with lightning because they had technology. They had probably laser weapons. They had flying saucers. They could run circles around the ordinary people. So the history of the Old Testament is fraught with these Anunnaki conflicts. So, for example, Sodom and Gomorrah, where there was that incident where don't look back or you'll turn to salt, and an entire city was wiped off the earth, was actually Enlil dropping a nuclear weapon on those cities. And the god of Noah, Adonai, I believe the name Adonai in the Old Testament, was Enki. And it was the Enki god that was collaborating with Noah to save the population, the DNA, so that the human species could recreate itself in the flood. And then you have these crazy incidences like Jezebel and Elijah. And if you know the story, Jezebel was a woman that was living in, what was the city? It was a city where the god was a really negative dude, the same one that is around today, Moloch, but he was called Baal, okay? I shouldn't say his name. I don't want to invoke him. But Elijah was with, quote-unquote, the good god, Yahweh. And there was a meeting to decide who had the real god and who had the better god and who had the superior god. And so the priests of Yahweh met with the priests of Baal in an area, and they had this wood piled up, and whichever god could make that wood catch fire would be the real god, and the others would be fakes. So it turns out the Yahweh god group made the wood catch fire, and then Elijah then ordered the priests of Yahweh to slaughter the priests of Baal, okay? Doesn't sound like our sources, does it? Doesn't sound like a loving god. This was how the Anunnaki gods were manifesting in that period. And the Old Testament, you know, I'm nervous about saying stuff like this because I don't mean to offend Jewish people. And I was brought up Jewish. But you can research this. This is not pie in the sky. There's a lot of documentation that what I'm saying is true. It started out with Zachariah Sitchin, who was translating the Sumerian tablets and came up with the first story of Enlil and Enki and the Anunnaki, and it ended up with Michael Tellinger, who lived in South Africa and went on explorations and found the landing bases for the spaceships and all kinds of other things, and put together all the statements in the Old Testament that do not sound like a loving God. You know, this is what I'm going to talk about this Saturday. Stay tuned, because I'm going to be on Alfred's, and I'm going to talk about the how Jesus came about and how Ra was connected to Jesus. And, you know, I put stuff together that I've never heard anyone say before. And I did do it on this call one time. And I don't particularly like to focus on it, because so as soon as you focus on this stuff, and, you know, maybe I'll do it and I'll never do it again. Because the problem with focusing on it is people that come from religious backgrounds and heritages and pride, they hear what I'm saying, and it sounds like I'm against Jews or against Jesus, which I'm not one bit. And it's just trying to figure out how we got from there to here. So it's 7:57. Let's get over to Whole Planet Healing.
All callers are unmuted.
And did anybody hang up? Probably, I wouldn't know it if they did, right?
You can't talk about Trump.
Huh?
No, we're still here.
I think somebody...
That was interesting. That was fascinating.
Yeah.
Says Trump is shapeshifter.
Yeah. So, I'm going to see you guys. Whole Planet Healing. Anyone need the number?
Nope.
Okay.
And Raiden said that Kimberly's link is working since an hour with Alfred Weber from Saturday.
On YouTube. Right?
On YouTube, yes.
Alfred, you're hi, so you're going to go to Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
she told me.
Did she?
Okay. Yeah.
I was going to keep it a surprise. I was going to walk up to you over there and shake
well,
hands.
I don't know if I'm going. Maybe I'll go. You never know. You know.
Right.
I can say hello to David Wilcock, and we can have a fight in the lobby. Okay, we'll see you in a moment.
All right. Love you all.
Okay.
Love you too.
Thank you. Bye.
Your conference recording has stopped.